Five, four, three, two, one.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening. It is, it is the 15th of August, and it is the new Panic Room, and it's episode 153, which means we've been doing this for far, far too long, and Nobody's banned us yet, so I'm going to keep going until ICE come and deport me. So I think that'll be, in fact, maybe hopefully they'll come and deport me on the air, so I can do my anti-Trump protest live on the show, which may make for good radio, I think. So we'll try and organise that. It is, and. You know, and I say this every week, and I do miss her. I mean, she's absolutely useless on the show, but I mean, she's decorations. I mean, you know, don't tell anybody I've said that. But we're going to bring her on. We're going to bring her on. I didn't mean to say you're not totally useless, I have to say, but he said backtracking. We do mock a little bit, but I've said it before, if it wasn't for you, there'd be no show.
That's
just like
right. And then when we don't have any guests, it's also my fault. So, you know, that.
How many times have we not had any guests? I think once, I think, in 153 shows. Except deliberately. I think we had one a couple of weeks ago the following is redacted for legal reasons. We had no guests, but it was a great. It was one of the best shows ever. It was just you and me and shooting the shit, and I absolutely had a great time.
It was. Absolutely it was the best. You know, absolutely. I think probably one of my favorites though was when we had our anniversary show.
Yes,
that
I
was,
do.
We had people
phoning. I think we were basking in the adoration, and I enjoyed that. We don't get enough of that, to be honest. I like the adoration, but I think it's nice to know that A, we do have listeners, and B, that we are appreciated. And you know, for some people, you know, it's the highlight of their week, which I find a bit sad, to be honest with you. Quite honestly, if this was the highlight of my week, I'd just stop trying. Tell you the truth.
Well, it is the highlight of my week, though.
Moving on.
Is that? Yeah, I know.
Moving on.
Is that a little sad?
I'm going to take the. Am I allowed to take the fifth? I'm not actually a citizen, but and I will just say in case Donald Trump and I know Donald does tune in that I am legal. I have my green card to prove it. So, you know, you big floppy head twat, leave me alone. So, I've got a kind of a new jingle, again, redacted for legal reasons. It's all legal this week, isn't it? I'm dying to hit this button, so I'm going to do it.
Into a week in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on? And I say,
Eckstein. What is going on? How smooth is that? Seriously, how
that
smooth?
Great.
And if YouTube try to ban the episode on the basis of that, they can fuck right off. They give me ASCAP number personally. So hey, Eckstina, what is going on in the big wide world of whatever it is we
things.
Do? I lose track. I lose things. There's some very very big things.
Yes.
Some good things.
So what I'm well, we have the Toilet Zone, the anthology. What is it tomorrow? Does it go live tomorrow or like?
It is tomorrow,
right?
And I have to say it's one of my probably because of the title and the theme. It is one of my favorites so far. And I, just for the listeners' benefit, it's not all stories about toilets. It is the scientifically worked out. Each story is the average length of a sit-down visit to the lavatory. So you can sit there. No, I mean, people could use it to time themselves. You know, so I'm going to sit down, start the story, and I need to be wiping by the time I get to the end of the story. Otherwise, I've been sat here too long. Or if I haven't done anything, then I may need to get the prune juice out. One of the two. One of the two.
So it's beneficial for it. Yes, I think everybody needs one in their bathroom. And I'm excited too. The cover was really awesome, and I think there's some really amazing stories. I'm excited about it. I think it's a really cool idea.
I am. I mean, we've just added a story, so there's not 32, there's 33 now, which means the cover art is wrong. It's a bonus story. Let's call it a bonus because I'm damned if I'm doing that again.
You know,
but
we should.
the cover art by Kevin Enhart, who's done a lot of our cover, is phenomenal. It's a wonderful homage mm-hmm. to the Twilight Zone, obviously. In fact, somebody actually commented Rod Serling would be proud. Now that gave me a little bit of a semi on. I must admit, I was kind of frisky. I was twitching. I'm guessing it was probably a. Probably a 3 or 4 on the Eckstina moisture scale, I'm guessing.
I was just gonna say yes, definitely. That was a moisture moment. That's a moisture moment.
That needs to be a segment on the show. We need a jingle for that.
Yeah.
Moisture moments with James and Eckstina. That's great. You know, the things. we've been on the air for like 10 minutes now. And, you know, here we are. Well, there's really no, I can see no way back from this. We are in the gutter, and I have a horrible feeling this is where we're going to stay.
Well, there was a reason we moved to prime time, and this would very much be the reason I'm thinking.
It's technically way past my bedtime. Way past my bed. It was an old joke. My dad used to tell me it's some comedian back in probably the 70s. He'd say, had a golden rule: if you're not in bed by 9:30, go home. And I like that.
Wow.
It's rude. It's a bit raunchy, but you know it's suitable for kids. But which reminds me, I'm taking my offspring to see The Good Boys tomorrow. Which is by the, I think Seth Rogen is involved somewhere, by the same team who did, I've forgotten what it's called, no, Superbad, that's the one, which in itself is a phenomenally funny movie. And it just looks, it is so inappropriate, it is rude. I mean, the kids just pissed themselves laughing at the commercial for it. So yeah, damn it, it's one of these... Don't tell your mum I've taken you to see this film sort of films.
Sounds fun.
It looks absolutely hilarious. The reviews are brilliant. If it's the Superbad team, it can't fail. I mean, it's got to be a good film.
Right. You told me a couple weeks ago about Zombieland 2 coming out. And
yay!
I watched the trailer like 50 times now. I cannot wait. I am so stoked for that. Because throughout, since the first one was released, we've heard, you know, they're going to do two. They're going to do two, but like it was never real, you know. And this time it is. So I'm so excited.
If it has, it's been on the go for, I don't know what has happened, whether it's just, you know, some of these things get caught up in developmental hell. But I remember when I told you, you said, but was it a hoax? it's got the original case. It's got Emma Stone, Woody Harrelson, that other guy that was in it. I'm not sure if Bill Murray, because they actually killed him in the last one. But hey, it's a zombie movie.
They could bring him back,
I know, I tell
that girl,
they did. Was he a zombie? I think he was at the end of it, but I know they killed him.
Yeah, he wasn't a zombie, but then they killed him. But you know what? It's a zombie movie, so that would be awesome.
That's it, he pretended to be a zombie, so they shot him, and it's like, no, I'm only joking, you know. So do you like the jingle for our What's Going On, do you?
I wanted the whole song though. That's a great song.
I can play the whole song next week if you so desire.
Woo-hoo.
It's one I've not heard for a long time. Mm-hmm. Long time. Well, I heard it just now, obviously, so not that long ago, to be honest, about 3 minutes ago. So was that. So my email has been down. I don't know what the fuck Microsoft has done. I think they just hate. Today has been, I know for you as well, technological hell. My computer is slowing down day by day now. And not helped by the fact I've finally bitten the bullet and cancelled my cable TV. Subscribed to Hulu, which has saved me $60 a month, which I'm thrilled about. And literally, I just thought I'd get ringing, but I'm just cancelling the TV. Fine, okay. My son reported the internet was slow. So got back onto it today, and because they treated it as a new order, you buy like the basic internet package, and then there's a booster for whatever it is, which is fine. But that doesn't kick in for a couple of days. I thought, for fuck. And I was doing this text thing with this guy. I hate speaking to them, because you phone them and it's Rajesh in Bangalore or whatever. And they can never understand what I'm saying. Either way, but it turns out, and he literally flicked a switch, and it was suddenly we've got the 400 megabytes per second again, and it's like, why extends it to? Then it just happened. You've got this and this, and because you're a valued customer, you've got these streaming services, and you don't have to pay for them for 30 days. They word it so cleverly, you don't have to pay for it for 30 days. No, what you're saying is in 30 days, we're going to fucking charge you an extra 10. I said, I did not ask for that. I don't want your fucking streaming services, actually. Bucko. Yeah. And it took me 20 minutes to get him to take them. Oh, well, you don't have to pay. No. Oh, you can cancel on the 29th. I'm cancelling it now. You take that money out of my account, and I will, seriously, I will fly to Timbuktu, and I will sort you out, really. Oh, so he's I still don't believe him, he is sure, because they just sneak it on. They never said anything yesterday. So, you get your internet services, your landline, and that's it, and suddenly, so what would have happened? I'd have got to the end of the month, and we got the bill with an extra $10 on it. It's like, I hate them. I hate all of them. Every single one of them.
I'm having computer issues too, and I'm very upset because I just replaced my computer a couple months ago.
Yes, you did.
It has moments where it goes okay, it runs pretty good, and then I forget that I'm having these issues. And then this morning I got on to I was trying to put up the Panic Room ad for the day, just get it up there. It took me half an hour just to do that. Yeah. I was like, oh my god.
Well, I had that yesterday. It took me, because I thought I put something in the oven for me and my daughter for lunch, and I thought, right, literally it takes 10 minutes. I'll raffle off an email. Like I said, 25 minutes to send one, fucking email. I thought, this is just really ridiculous now. But to be fair, my computer, bless her, I mean, she's 6 years old now, which in computer years is ancient. So I've been shopping around for a new one.
So anywho,
so we could sit and whine.
I know.
All evening. And I think we should, in many ways. Maybe we should do that. Just have a whiny evening. But do we have a show this evening, or is it just a whole hour and a half of us moaning about shit? Excellent. I'm pleased.
That would be fun, though. But we definitely have a show. On our first segment, I'm excited. We have romance writer and poet Summer Lane, which poems, so we get to talk all poems stuff. And
poems.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then later on the show, we have USA Today bestselling author Tara Sippick. And I'm hoping I said her name right.
Oh, sorry.
But,
it's a bit of an X chromosome heavy show this week.
It is. Yes.
Which
yes.
is great because it means I can put my feet up and just listen to you talking about shopping and doing your nails and sort of girly stuff, which is great.
Yes, exactly.
Which is great.
Yeah,
so, hey, let's. Without further ado, should we bring out our first guest?
We should. Romance writer and poet.
We can take that out in post. So, okay, and on 3, 2, 1, go.
Romance writer and poet Summer Lane. Woo!
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You there? Hi. How are you doing? How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
It's Thursday nights are like my Friday. So, you know, when we get through with the show, I'm like, yes, I got the weekend off, which I don't. I mean, I do have to work. But for me, it just feels like, you know, this is it. This is my Friday. So I look forward to Thursday.
Do you know, it's funny. I spent all day yesterday, most of yesterday, thinking it was Thursday, and it got to about 5 o'clock. Imagine my bitter disappointment when I realised it was Wednesday. And I only realised it was Wednesday because I flicked the TV on, had a bit of background like The Simpsons on, and there was no Simpsons because it's not on a Wednesday. It's like, oh, fuck, I've got another. I thought. Hey. So, I'm guessing Summer Lane is a sort of. Not your real name. Or is it?
No, it's not.
Oh, boo.
I know. It's disappointing, isn't it? It's much better than my real name, believe me.
It is a fine name. It is a fine name. I was about to say, what were Mr. and Mrs. Lane thinking about? You know, it's, to be fair, my son, I would have called you Lois, to be honest, had you been my child, but I'm sure it was tempting. I'm sure it was tempting for them. But,
oh, yeah, I'll go back and change it. That's kind of good.
I would. So, yeah, Summer is here to talk to us about her book, All My Pretty Pieces, which is poetry. Is it all poetry?
Yes.
Is it a mix, or is it just poetry?
It is all poetry. It is my first collection I'll be releasing solo. I don't have an exact date yet, but it will come out sometime towards the end of September.
Oh, wow, so it's all fresh. That's great.
Yeah.
So, Xtina, to be fair, I've said this on the show, because poetry is a little bit beyond me. I'm crap at it, to be honest. I have tried. I've written one poem, and that was it.
I was done.
It was like it took so much out of me, spiritually and mentally. That was it. So why poetry? Why have you chosen that as your medium?
Honestly, I don't even know that I did choose it. It kind of chose me. It's just something that pours out of me naturally. It's not even something I try at most of the time.
Awesome.
No, it's the same with me. I think, yeah, definitely. I think that if you're a poet, it just, you can't not, I mean, a friend of mine recently was talking about how, you know, poetry doesn't sell, and, you know, they were thinking about pretty much just giving it up and thinking when you're a poet, I don't think that you can. You know, I mean, that's it's just something. I mean, I do get dry spells. Like, I think I haven't written a poem in a, I don't know, a week or so, you know, and I'm itching for it, you know. But, I mean, they'll have, you know, there'll be times when I write, you know, a couple a day. But, you know, when you're a poet, when you're, it just seems to come out. And I don't think you could ever, oh, I'm just not going to do it anymore. You know, I can't ever see that happening. So,
no, I agree. It comes in spurts. It comes in waves. And I started writing poetry probably, oh, I don't know, sixth grade maybe, 12 years old.
Yeah.
So, and it's just kind of came and went ever since. So, yeah, it's just part of me.
I have to say, I love the title, All My Pretty Pieces. That is,
thank you.
I really like it. Yeah, yeah, it definitely, it paints a picture. It does. And I can't wait to read more of it. And I did want to say, James, that Summer and I are anthology buddies. We just had the one you see me share all the time, Paper Cuts, that Summer's in that with me. And it's a gorgeous collection. It really is. I'm so honored to be a part of it. I read some of the other poems and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in it too, because they're so good. So
I'm in the same place. I'm like, wow, I'm really in that with them. I don't deserve this. Yeah.
I know, right? I do the same thing. So and Summer is like the haiku like queen. She is like so good at haiku, and I'm kind of
I try
my hand at them, and I think that they're okay, but at the same time I'm like, you know, I don't know. You know, they're kind of fun, I guess, as an exercise. But when I read yours, I'm like, you know, because they're supposed to be, it's not just about like how many syllables it has, but it's supposed to evoke like, you know, imagery and stuff. And I really think that, you know, yours have done that, you know, they really have. So
that's kind of a recent exercise that I've done, actually, because for years I never, ever did. But they're more of a challenge, I think, because there is a rule and you do have to kind of go in a certain way and follow certain things. So, yeah, that's why I think it's fun.
Yeah, you know, for so long, I rhymed everything. I was the rhymer, you know, and I loved it. And I did not get free verse at all. And then when I started, I was like, wow, it's so freeing. It really is. And and now I'm like, oh God, I wonder if I can even rhyme if I wanted to now. Oh my God. So,
yeah, and I've never been able to rhyme ever. It's all just kind of sometimes just a rant more than anything, I think. But,
I always was. I really was. And, but I love free verse. And I think that, especially when I read your stuff, because, you know, I've read other contemporary poets, and they strive, I think, too much to make it flowery and you know, it's almost to where I need a thesaurus sitting next to me when I'm reading it. And you know, I'm reading for fun, and I also want to feel something, or you know, I want to be like, wow, I've been there. And you know what? Yeah, so I think that our poetry is kind of similar in that sense, is that we, you know, our stuff is every day. It's almost the way we would talk. It's the way we feel. It's not, you know, you don't have to, you know, delve into it and try to tear it apart and you know, figure out the deeper meaning. You're like, this is, you know, this is what I'm saying is what I mean. You know, there's not going to be any, I wonder what she was thinking here.
Right. And there's nothing really flowery about me at all when I'm writing, that's for sure. I definitely tend to gravitate more towards the dark side of things, and more like, I don't know, kind of towards the more emotional and sad even at times. I don't intend for it to be, but that's just kind of how it ends up. So it's just what the feeling is right then. That's what goes there.
Well, and also that's, I think, what it makes us feel more. You know, I mean, definitely, if you read a poem that's sad or something, I think that, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to feel that one more than I am the one that's about the, you know, gorgeous flower out there or you know, something like that. But I definitely like the more personal ones, the ones that you know the person writing this has been through something. You know that, the, you know, they're going
right.
through something now.
Right. It's just like, you know, it's just like writing fiction. That's our goal, is to make somebody feel, you know, is to make
yeah.
that reader be in that place.
Now, you also, you write romance. Is it romance that is your genre?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Is it like contemporary?
Much. I have a short story. Yeah, contemporary, kind of more erotic romance. But
oh, right, you've got my attention. You've got my attention now. Suddenly, suddenly Jim's back in the game. So, I have to ask, what would you prefer? The poetry? Do you prefer the erotic romance, or does it just depend on sort of what mood you're in at the time?
Probably what mood I'm in at the time. I very much enjoy both. I don't know that I have a preference, but I'll always be a poet first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel you. I do. And I love, you know, I love to read anything, really. I really do. But I don't know. And dark romance, there's definitely
mm-hmm.
something about dark romance that I always pull, you know, always drawn to. And, I don't know. You can't... what are the ones, the millionaires that are, you know, they kidnap the girl? I don't know. It's awful. It's just awful, but I don't know. I just love them.
You're confusing real life. That was Jeffrey Epstein. You're confusing real life with fiction again.
Ew.
Ew.
So, yeah, when you're not writing, Summer, who do you like to read?
I like to read, oh gosh, about anything. I like the dark and the taboo as well. That I'll mm-hmm. always go towards that. Something, you know, anything different like that, I definitely go towards.
Now, there was I think it was about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer, there was a dark taboo, we're talking really taboo book came out, The Wild by Kay Webster. Did you read that? It is my favorite.
Oh my gosh! Yes,
yes.
Awesome.
I know. When when Facebook blew up over this book, I was like, I have to read it. And of course, you know, sometimes when you're busy doing things, you don't really see it right away. So when I realized it, I went to Amazon and I purchased the book. And of course, you know, like they couldn't even get it to me because it was they banned it before then. So I had
mm-hmm.
to actually order straight from her, and I loved it. I did. I mean, there were definitely times
yeah.
I was cringing and thinking, oh my God, you know, I mean, especially when you start out and you know that this is going to be taboo and you see the cast of characters and you're like, oh dear God,
right,
you know,
right.
You know, something. So, I
ordered
mine
for two.
Yeah, yeah. And I have the cute little magnet on my fridge. I read banned books.
Yes,
so,
yes, I do too.
That was awesome.
That's the only signed book that I have that I've ever read, the actual book. Usually I'll get a signed book, read like the e-book so I don't tear the paperback. But that one I actually read the paperback.
Oh, it was a good book. It really was. And I've been trying to get her back on the show since then, but, you know, she's kind of busy, I guess. So,
yeah.
So I can't wait to hear some of your poems. You have a couple to read for us, don't you?
I do. I chose some short ones to not take up too much of your time. I've got a couple. If you want me to read it, I can.
Yes, please.
Okay, so this one is called Calming, and these are all in the new book that's coming out. It's all in my pretty pieces. So this one is called Calming. A bright beauty of shadows sway a golden rhythm of wings against a weakening soul, faded kisses on blue lips as calm bodies dance to the sky. And then this next one, this is the one that I said I have been writing since I was about in the sixth grade. This is the first one I ever wrote as a class project. So I took it out of a journal and wrote, put it in the book, and it was like scrawled in little handwriting still. So this one is called Just How I Am. Darling, don't heal these cracks. I need them to make me whole. These scars are the first. I'll tell my story. My clips will blind you. Don't dry these tears. I need them to carry me away. Let's see. What other one did I pick?
I have the poem that probably one of my first ones that I wrote, and there's no way I'd read that. It's awful.
Oh, I'm sure it is. This one is called, I remember, if memories had a taste, ours would be tears and wine, covered in dirt and grime, buried down deep, lost in time. So it all rhymes a little bit. See, I can.
I was going to say, that rhymes.
Yay, it rhymes. Yeah. Well done. I like that.
Yeah. The poet, and I didn't know it. Look at that.
Okay, I like it.
I'll give you one more. This one's just a few lines. It's called Where We Met. I met you in a song. I kissed you in a novel. You broke me in a poem. So,
you know, I love those.
Oh, was that it? Oh, I thought that was just the title. No, we need.
No, that's just little.
Needs to be a bit longer.
Yeah.
To be honest,
yeah,
I'm no expert, but maybe it's a bit longer.
You know, yeah, those lines are awesome. They really are. But I think you can definitely expound on them. Like, I definitely can see more, and or maybe that could be like the end of it, and you know, because I definitely it makes me sad. You broke me in a poem. It's so true, because I mean, any of the major like breakups of mine, I've always written about, and they come. There was one, and it's in my first book, Dark Musings, and you know, the start of the poem, you see this girl and she's laying on the ground and there's blood everywhere and she's in this horrible pain. And you think, oh my God, what's happened? Is she, has she been attacked? And it's not till like the middle of the poem that you realize that, no, it's heartache. It's not real. It's heartache.
So my signed copy of Dark Music is on my shelf. Private place, but it is a bit light on laughs, Xtina. I did spot, you know. It's...
But I think that you can definitely convey so much, a pain, and I, you know, and that's the thing too, is that I guess you could kind of say I've you know, come over to the lighter side of things and some of my recent writing because I did not think that you could create such feeling in something that wasn't sad or dark. And I guess I'm trying to prove that you can, you know, that you can be just as moved by.
I think certainly Dark Musing certainly reflected your sort of state of mind at the time.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you were going through all sorts of goings on, but it's a terrific. It was very dark. It was obviously a very dark book, but terrific read.
Thank you. You know what we have not done in a couple of weeks, and I miss it. So I'm wondering if Summer would like to do 11 questions with me.
Sure.
I was just saying, it's not a choice, to be
Maybe,
honest.
Wait,
really,
do I?
It's going to happen.
Yes.
It's going to happen. Yes. We just give the pretense that you have a choice, but it'll be fun. let's do this.
And now, 11 questions.
Okay, number one, what's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, goodness. I have so many.
right?
I'm like, just one? Probably chocolate. It has to be chocolate, yeah.
You know, I'm going to embarrass the boyfriend real quick because I messaged him and told him that my mouth was really, really dry, and he brought me up some chocolate milk. And, you know, for his guilty pleasure, I'm going to really embarrass him now because it's the Gilmore Girls, by the way, the Gilmore Girls. I just had to say that. Okay. Right?
Excellent.
Okay,
it's, not, it's not called a guilty pleasure for nothing. I mean.
You're right. Oh, let's see. Number two, the mountains or the ocean?
I'd say the ocean.
The ocean's beautiful, but for the mountains, I need a buzzer, James. Can we, can we get me a buzzer?
I mean, we go to the mountains every year, and I love it there, but, the ocean. I want to hear the waves and sit on the beach in the dark and write a poem or something. Yeah.
Let's see. What's your favorite lunch meat?
I don't know. Probably ham, but I'd cut up and put it on a salad, so.
That's good like that, though. Yeah, no, ham is the right answer. Not like there's really right or wrong answers, but, you know.
Turkey is the wrong answer.
Turkey is the wrong answer.
It is the blandest of the lunch meats.
I was going to say bologna, but what would that do, I wonder?
I like a bit of bologna, that's good.
Let's see. If it were legal to do so, would you eat human flesh?
Probably not. No.
I'm with you. I am. We have a lot of horror authors on the show, and I'm always a little frightened when I ask that question, especially because right before it is your favorite lunch meat, and then I ask, about human flesh, so it's kind of a scary moment for me.
Yeah.
Because the bad thing is so many of them will say things like, what do you mean if it were legal? I would do it anyway, so I'm like, ow. But no, I'm with you though. No human flesh for me either. Have you ever been pulled over for a traffic violation?
Yes, but every time I've cried and I've never been ticketed.
There you go. See, I actually didn't cry, but like the one time that they pulled me over, they asked, did you see the sign back there? And I said, yes, I did. I just didn't think it pertained to me anymore. And they laughed.
Yeah, I didn't think you were serious. Yeah.
Yeah, I just totally didn't think, it was awful. It was so embarrassing. But, I didn't get a ticket either for it. So good on me, right?
Well done, yeah.
Do you prefer, are you an Android or an Apple girl?
Ooh, Apple.
Anyway. Which franchise do you prefer? Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, Hellraiser, or Saw?
Now say it again. What was that?
We're talking scary movies here. Do you like Halloween, Friday the 13th, Elm Street, Hellraiser, or Saw?
Or Halloween, maybe you can say but nice. I want the original. I want the original version,
yeah.
The first one.
Yeah, the Halloween franchise is a really good one. That's definitely my my answer for that one. James loves Hellraiser. He loves that.
Yay!
Food.
Yes, I do.
He gets excited too.
I do. It takes a lot to get me excited these days. I have to say.
But Pinhead does it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every time. Every time. Well,
Roller coasters, yay or nay?
Oh, no.
I say that I'm brave enough. I really don't think I am. We were at Gatlinburg a couple weeks ago, and they have the little ski lift things that go over the little town.
Oh, Uber Mountain there, yeah.
It looks so fun. I want to do it so bad, but heights terrify me, so... I don't know if
I'm so
good. I want to. I just don't know if I actually could do it. So
I don't want to die that way.
No, right? And then people say, well, it's not the actual fall that'll kill you. It's, the landing. So
It's the ground. Yeah.
Yeah.
The so ground. Be afraid of the ground.
Yeah, the ground, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Give me one interesting non-writing related fact about you.
There's nothing interesting about me.
It's not true.
No, I'm so boring. Let's see, non-running fact. Well, I still have 2 baby teeth that I've never lost.
Oh, wow, that's cool. That's random.
Yeah,
it is.
I like that.
And what is your least favorite part about writing, the writing process?
Trying to figure out, like, a computer. I'm so technologically challenged, and Word, like,
aww.
Word hates me, and I'm like, if I could just write this on paper, it would be so much better.
Yeah. I sometimes think that these things are supposed to, you know, be time-saving, but I think they specially designed them just to waste our lives. To be honest, you know, spend, you heard us when we were in the beginning of the show, you know, half an hour to send one email. I could have, you know, sent a carrier pigeon would have been quicker, to be honest.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, technology is supposed to help us, you know, speed things up, but a lot of times it just, and the frustration. I really could have just taken the computer and thrown it out the window this morning. Mm.
I've come very close to just ramming my keyboard through the screen, you know, and I literally have to walk away because I will, I'm going to trash it, and then things would be worse because it's broken, you know, but you just get that flash of I'm going to destroy it. I mean, you can see where the incredible, I mean, the thing with the Incredible Hulk is that, you know, that's just every day now. I get at least 2 fits of that a day, where I could quite merrily just turn green and run amok and destroy everything quite happily.
I try to take deep breaths, and you know, when I'm on the computer and it's doing something that I don't want it to do, or you know, taking a long time. Now I just pick up my phone and I calmly, you know, text a friend or something, and it just pretend like. That's what I was planning on doing anyway, was texting my friend from my phone, so that way I don't get mad at the computer. That's what I try to do. I
physically get up and leave the room and just go, I don't know, either put the kettle on or just go and, you know, look at the dog crap on the back lawn or something, and just get away from it, because otherwise it would be in pieces by now.
Well, we are just about out of time for our first segment.
I wanted more poems, to be honest.
We'll have to get Summer back on when her book releases, and we can have like a whole poem show. Yeah,
we can have a poem fest. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, it would be. But I do want to say, everybody go out and buy Paper Cuts. It's, we have just a little short while left before it's like not on the shelf anymore, or something like that, right? Isn't that what's going on?
Oh,
limited
edition thing,
So get it now while it's still there, because, you know, when one of us gets like rich and famous, and they're going to want that, you know, copy of Paper Cuts. So go buy it.
I think my signed copy from you must be stuck in the mail or something, because it's not here yet. So give it another day.
It's on its way. Yeah,
it's on its way. Yeah, well, I've heard that before.
And look for Summer's All My Pretty Pieces sometime next month. And
fantastic.
Definitely have to get you back. Thank you so much, Summer.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us, Sam. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, have a brilliant rest of your evening.
Bye.
We will be, okay, bye-bye. We will be back after these messages.
Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Johnny and Robbie.
Youth, why are you talking like that with them stone?
I know, but I can't stop here, Pally.
Like the wallpaper sticks to the wall, and like the sea shark clings to the sea, like you'll never get rid of your shadow, you'll never get rid of me. Let all the others fight and fuss, whatever happens, we've got on. Me,
closer than pages that stick in a book.
Mine.
We're closer than
ripples.
Wherever you'll find him, you'll find me. Just look. Closer than a miser, all the bloodhounds eyes on me.
Closer than Smog is to all of LA.
My shadow.
Closer than Ricky to confessing he's gay. Not a soul can bust this team in two. We stick together like glue.
When
it's sleeping time,
that's when we rise.
We start to swing.
You think you're so just you.
Clocks don't chime.
What a surprise.
They ring. A ding ding. Happy New Year.
Me.
Not to repeat what I said at the start.
My shadow.
Don't need a large crowbar to break us apart. We're alone but far from blue. Oh, oh, oh. Before we get finished, we'll make the town roar. We'll hit a few late spots and then a few more. We'll start out as stringies and maybe Groucho. Life is gonna be a wow wow.
Can we do that again?
No, I'm too tired.
Oh, please, Rob.
No, I'm swung out.
Oh, come on. I'll give you some money.
I don't need money.
What about a cup of tea?
Not thirsty.
I won't tell anybody you're gay.
Show life is gonna be a wow wow we for my shadow and me.
Yeah. Duh. Welcome back to part two.
And we're, well, I'm back. Are you back, Xtina, or you still drinking, or whatever you do, you know?
No, I am.
I love that song. So I usually go for a wee-wee at heart, but I didn't because I love that song so much. The old mate from England, Robbie Williams, from a great album, Swing When You're Winning, which was just a whole album of swing tunes, which is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. He actually performed a lot of them, did like a TV special thing with a full-on big band, and it was phenomenal. Probably on YouTube by now, but yeah, it was great. I mean, I've gone back a year or two, but
I recommend it. You played another song by him a couple of weeks ago, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
What was that song?
Come Undone, yeah, great, great song, yeah.
I have been playing that song like on repeat. It's so good. Mm-hmm. I really like it. It's great.
You should get the album. Get some of his early albums. They're brilliant.
And, you know, I get some good music from you, some stuff I've never heard of, like Lily Allen. We have a playlist now of Lily Allen, and she is
excellent.
Great. She is,
Lily, she's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. She is. I think I might have a little girl crush on her now. So thank you for that.
You are welcome. So, anywho, speaking of music, and again, we've not played this for a while, and it's funny. I mean, we used to talk about the Donald a lot on the show, but I think he's become so absurd now that there's really nothing
left
to say.
Yeah.
It's comedy that it writes itself, but all you do is just repeat it, you know. But I'm gonna in homage to the Donald. I'm gonna play this for a bit.
Nobody does it better.
I really believe I'd run in there even if I didn't have a weapon.
Nobody knows the system better than me.
Nobody knows politicians better than I do.
Nobody knows. Nobody's better.
Nobody's stronger. There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
I love the First Amendment. Nobody loves it better than me.
Nobody loves the Bible more than I do.
There is nobody that respects women more than I do.
Nobody builds walls better than me.
Nobody's in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump. Nobody knows that better than me.
Nobody even understands it but me.
Nobody can do it like me.
Which is why I alone can fix it.
I have Ivy League education, smart guy.
I know words, I have the best words.
You're like, I'm a smart person.
It's this, it's not my salesmanship.
It's what?
This, you know what that is? It's the brain power.
I'm getting thousands of letters and tweets that I was right about the whole situation. I mean, I've been right about a lot of things, frankly. I should be a newscaster because I called it before the news.
I watch this stuff. You know, I'm like a guy with vision.
I have an instinct for this kind of thing.
I'm good at war. I've had a lot of wars of my own. I'm really good at war.
In my book, I predicted terrorism.
It's a rigged system. I think I've done a great service by pointing this out. I was the one that really broke the glass ceiling on behalf of women.
I think I'm doing the military a great favor.
Did a great job in Texas, a great job in Florida.
I truly believe that the first 100 days of my administration has been just about the most successful in our country's history.
It looked like a million and a half people.
Thank you, everybody. What a crowd. What a turnout.
I understand steaks. It's my favorite food, and these are the best.
It keeps me from running.
Can you believe it?
What a great question to end on. No, I cannot believe it, but there you go. So,
He has the best word.
Nobody does the military. Nobody does the military better than me. I was like, seriously, dude? My pet snake has a better vocabulary than him, to be honest. We should get her on the show, actually.
I said he's got the best words. He said it himself. We can't, you know. That's it. He's got the best words.
Yeah, he's a frightening thing.
You have to believe it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, we will. I was discussing with a client recently. I'm ghostwriting a financial thriller, and the chief protagonist guy is a narcissist, you know, and that's his sort of trait, and he doesn't care who he treads on, who he, you know, gets bumped off, etc., etc. And one of the key things that came out was, you know, they will create chaos around them, these people, because they're really just oblivious. They have no empathy, oblivious to what they're doing. And the quote was actually there on that thing, only I can fix it. And that is a key narcissistic phrase. along with I need your help. Somebody, you know, say I need your help. Or just like run a mile, seriously, because they rope you in and then they will just shit all over you, you know. And so beware, American. Vote wisely next year, for fuck's sake. Yeah, it's just like, please, because again, I read an article yesterday. It was actually saying it was the no votes that gave Trump the presidency.
Yeah.
So all the people who just didn't bother to vote, you know. So I mean, there are some countries where it is actually it's the law. You have, I think Sweden's one. I think they actually have a day's holiday where people go vote, and you have to go and vote. So they should do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Or just do what California's planning, or they say they're going to do, is unless Donald Trump produces his tax returns, he won't be on the ballot form. So nobody can vote for him.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
That would be neat.
For me, it's been like we're watching. I'm sorry, I'm getting a crazy like echo on my end. That's why I'm like stuttering, like I'm, you know, something's wrong with me. But it's gone away now. But no, it's almost like I'm watching a reality TV show, one of those really bad ones, you know, for this entire time. So. And I'm like, it's not real. I'm just watching this crazy, you know, show.
Well, you see, that is the problem. You know, we don't have the choice to not watch it because it is happening. And unlike, you know, whatever, Love Island, and I'll come to that in a minute, actually, except Big Brother and all, which I don't get. You know, if I wanted to sit and watch people living in a house, I'd just sit and watch the people in my house.
Well,
to be honest. To be fair, when my kids occupy the same space, for more than 3 minutes, that is entertaining. It really is. Absolutely value for me. Get the popcorn out, entertaining. But no, it was funny. I was this whole Love Island thing, whatever you call it, over. And so I think that's the thing here. I know in England, I think what they call it. England. Basically, they get a whole bunch of incredibly attractive young 20-somethings in some exotic location, dress them in, you know, bikinis and skimpy wear and that, and then get offended when they actually have sex. Oh, they have sex on TV. Well, seriously, if they didn't, if they sat and played cribbage for the duration, you'd be annoyed. But then, oh, they were having sex. Oh, suddenly we're shocked. And I said, fuck off, seriously. You know, if I was, you know, 5 or 6 years younger, you know, I'd go on the show for that very reason. No, there is. I'm going to get laid. So, you know, drop them, ladies. I'd say drop them. You know. But I've always been smooth like that, you know.
The title itself.
They should call it Shag Island, really, and just have done with it. Just have them all. In fact, what they should do, they should get... mix Naked and Afraid, which is one of my guilty pleasures, I must admit, with Love Island, just have, you know, Naked and Shagged. And I think drop a lot of pretense. They're just all naked, so it drops all that pretense. And they just, you know, the last one to have sex, you know, loses.
Loses, yeah.
There
I
you
would
go.
Watch
just,
that.
We've just created a whole new TV show. We should copyright that.
Okay, you get on that, and should we move on in and bring on our next guest?
Well, before we get even lower down in the gutter, I will let you introduce our second guest, Xtina.
Okay, I am excited to announce our second guest, USA Today bestselling author Tara Civic. Woo!
Hello.
Now, is it Tara or is it Tara?
It's actually Tara, but I will forgive you and I will not slit your throat, so don't worry.
No, feel free. If you feel that's how you feel, I'm not going to stop you. Probably deserves it.
No one ever says it right. Like, I've gotten to the point where, like, I just don't even correct people. I'm like, yep, that's it. That's right. Sure.
So no, I would have said Tara because that's how I, because I'm proper, I guess.
And that's why I love you.
Oh, I love you. To be fair, it's just that I'm just common. I think that's what it is.
Okay,
common
right.
as mulch, I should say.
I saw a meme and it said, you know, something like, everybody pronounces my name so wrong all the time that, you know, I'm starting to wonder if I'm pronouncing it right. And it got you one of those moments, you know. I see it all the time and I always say Tara. And the only time I've actually heard it pronounced Tara, though, is from Sons of Anarchy. Her name, that was Tara, right?
What's your
name?
Yeah,
there you go.
That was the best moment ever watching that show, and every time they would say her name I would be like, oh my god, they said it right.
I love that show. I do. And you know, I'm a weird one though, because everybody was crazy about Jax. Everybody loved Jax or Opie. It was, you know, usually one of those two.
Right.
I was in love with Tig. I loved Tig. He was funny. And,
That's a good choice.
He had beautiful blue eyes. I could stare into them forever.
He was
my guy.
Yep.
But thank you so much for coming on the show. And we're up late and we're partying and we're drinking and it's gonna be a lot of fun.
I have had so much coffee to be awake this late. I will probably be awake until next Thursday. So, woohoo!
Yeah. Do you normally have to get up early? Because, you know, it's like midday for me now. So, you know, I'm good for a couple more hours. So.
When the kids go back to school, which they don't go back to school for another, like, week and a half, I have to be up at 6:30 every morning, which is just hell on earth. I am not really a morning person. But
no, I know your pain. Yeah, and over the summer you kind of get used to not getting up. I have to get up at 6 because my eldest is at high school, and if I didn't, he wouldn't get up. I mean, today he got up about 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So it is. It's ridiculous. I mean, although the year before. It was at some stupid time. It was just the bus time. And I actually, 5:30, I didn't know there was a 5:30. I really didn't know they did that.
Right, not AM. Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, I have a 15-year-old, and he's got his own alarm, and he gets himself up, and he gets himself breakfast. He, you know, makes sure that the alarm doesn't go off when he leaves because the house alarm, and it gets on the bus. And there's sometimes I wake up like 10 or, you know, something in the a.m., and I check to see in the app shows he's at school, and I'm like, okay, good boy. And then I go back to sleep until like noon. So it's great.
I am so jealous. We don't have high school busing, so I have to take my daughter anyway, and my son is in middle school, and there's only like a 20-minute difference, so I told my son, I'm like, sorry, kid, you're going to school 20 minutes early every day. I'm not making 2 trips to school in the morning that early in the morning.
I know this is becoming a bit of a loving. I love you for that. I mean, there's people here. In fact, there's somebody that they moved away, but because they wanted their kids to go to whatever specific school, and she used to get up at the crack of dawn, go, and because it was that far away, there was no point going to come home to go and all. So she'd just sit in the car for like 6 hours.
Oh my god!
Awful.
While the kids were at school, so seriously. Yeah, and one of my daughter's friends, I was talking to her, we were at a birthday party, I was talking to her mom, and she said, this year is the first year her daughter's going on the bus. Literally, my daughter started in first day, she was on that fucking bus.
Oh, yeah.
No. But the thing is, I mean, to be fair, the bus was a big part of the fun, a big part of the adventure.
Right.
She loved it. Again, you know, I joke. She loved it, and I made it part of the fun and part of the adventure. And that, no, I'm not getting up at stupid 0 o'clock to say. I mean, occasionally, very rarely they'll miss the bus, or there's a couple of times the bus just doesn't come, or it's broke down, or whatever. On the whole, no, they go and they get on the damn bus and they come home with the bus. And no, I'm not. I will not be that. Maybe I'm a bad parent.
Oh.
Maybe she should get people to write in and tell me what a bad parent I am.
No, where our kids are going to be the survival of the fittest, the ones that last, you know, not these little pansy ones that, you know, people that cater to them and stuff. So we're raising the tough kids, the ones that are going to survive.
That's right, yeah. My kids are not going to be those that, you know, need an hour in the quiet corner because somebody called them a name. No way.
Although I do have to say this, and I just think this is hilarious. We went to, I said, Gatlinburg a couple weeks ago, and we took my son. He's 15. He's 6'1". He's like 220. He's a big boy. And we went to the Haunted Adventure, and he hung on to the back of my shirt like he was going to die. And at one point, he even said, "Mommy," don't leave me. And it's so funny. So I know. I tell James, and James is laughing because, you know, he's got a daughter who's like 10 and a badass, and she'd probably kick their asses, you know. And so I tell my son this.
She's nagging the crap out of me to take to a haunted house this Halloween. I think I will.
I tell my son, and he says, "Did you tell James it was scary?"
Oh my God.
So
he had to justify it, but it was super scary.
That's kind of the point, though, isn't it?
Exactly. Mm. It was great. I can't wait to take him back.
Film it. Next time, film it. Film it.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, let's see. Tara, I said it right, Tara, and I remember.
Hey.
She is here to talk to us about her book, Heidi's Guide to Four-Letter Words. And I love the tagline, a rom-com with a Minnesota accent. That's awesome. I love rom-coms. Woo-hoo. I really do. So, So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Heidi, I actually co-wrote with Andy Art. She is a very amazing award-winning narrator. She's narrated probably a billion of everyone's favorite romance novels. And she reached out to me April of 2018, that she had this idea for a romantic comedy, and she spoke to someone at Audible, and they suggested that I would be a good author to help her bring the story to life. And we got to work kind of co-writing this book and talking back and forth about our girl Heidi, and it is the most adorable story ever, and which is weird for me to say about one of my own books, because I'm usually kind of like, it's all right, I guess, whatever. But this story is just adorable. It's Heidi is a kindergarten teacher who is let go from her job. She doesn't really like it anyway, so she kind of doesn't care. And after she's laid off, she gets a job as an administrative assistant at an audio recording studio. And they record romance novels, but not just any romance novels, very, very juicy, erotic romance novels. And it kind of blows poor Heidi, you know, kindergarten teacher's head, because she's used to reading innocent Amish romance novels. And so after her first day at work, she's kind of flustered, goes home, drinks probably an entire box of wine, and happens to record a podcast. Drunkenly trying to read some of the erotic excerpts from a romance novel. And, you know, in her drunken box of wine drinking, she uploads it to the internet and doesn't realize she does it. And so it kind of starts her on a journey of figuring out who she is and trying to become strong and confident and sexy and hopefully catch the eye of her hunky next-door neighbor that she has a crush on.
I love it.
So you sorry, can we questions? A few points. Box of wine. That obviously, I love that. You know.
Yes.
Speaks volumes.
Amish
romance.
A box of wine.
Amish romance. Where can I get a Amish romance novel? I want.
Oh my
to read
goodness.
That.
You should come to my Walmart. My Walmart also has Amish horse and buggy parking. So we have quite a few. Oh, yeah, I'm not kidding. We
oh,
also
wow.
have quite a large selection of Amish romance on our shelves at our Walmart. I could absolutely send you one.
Could you? Would you seriously get me one? I'll send you the money. I've got to have one.
100%. I'm getting you an Amish romance, James. You have to read about
one.
Sarah turning the butter and building
yes.
barns and churning butter.
I'm getting aroused now. The churning butter.
You're gonna. It's innocently erotic. Because you know they're not really talking about churning butter. You know it means something else. They're churning something else late at night.
That's not what my mind. I was thinking churning butter, to be honest. But seriously, I need one. I have to have that in my life. I have to have been able to say I've read. An Amish romance novel. I've got to make it happen. Fantastic.
I'm going to make it happen.
You must.
Now, writing rom-coms, is this your normal genre that you write in?
It's definitely the one I'm known for. My first couple of books were romantic comedy. And I kind of am batshit crazy. So I just kind of go where the voices in my head tell me to go. And I write in a whole bunch of different genres. I kind of bounce around. Lately, I've been really, really trying to be happy and sticking with romantic comedy for my last few releases.
Yeah.
I just do whatever, you know, flows out of me and makes me happy.
Awesome. I want to hear more about Heidi. Do you have an excerpt for us?
I do. And oh my gosh, let me tell you how nervous and like freaked out I am about this, like reading an excerpt because I co-wrote this with Andy Arndt, who is an amazing, just her voice is magical when you hear it. And we went to Minnesota a couple weeks ago, which the book takes place in Minnesota. And Andy mm-hmm. was actually grew up in Minnesota. So when she's in Minnesota, that accent kind of comes out so much
nice.
Richer and just makes everything so much funnier. And I was in the Audible recording studio while she was recording her book. So I have already uh-huh. heard like a master read these words out loud. You might hear me vomit a little in my mouth. But it'll be okay. I'll swallow it back. It'll be fine.
Yeah. The visual. That's a great picture you just painted. Awesome.
You're welcome.
Okay. It's all yours if you need to set it up or anything.
Let me take a chug of my coffee here. So. Okay. So. Basically, the way Heidi's Guide to Four-Letter Words works is every other chapter is Heidi's podcast that she is recording and uploading onto the internet. So I am going to read for you chapter 5, which is Heidi's podcast, episode 1.
Awesome. It's all yours.
Okay, here we go. Heidi's podcast, episode 1. Okay. Ugh, is this thing even on? How do I know if it's on? Oh, my God. This is so stupid. I'm going to have the biggest headache in the morning. But this box of wine is really delicious. People hear box of wine and they think, oh, geez. Oh, no. I would never drink that because it's probably tastes like a box. But you guys, it doesn't taste like a box at all. It just tastes like wine. I wonder how good this microphone thingy is. Can you hear me pouring more wine? Well, I'm not actually pouring it. I've got a box of Franzia Sunset Blush sitting right next to me on my kitchen table, and it's got a plastic spout where I just push the button, glug, glug, glug. I'm inserting sound effects just in case you can't hear it. And instant glass of wine. Okay, podcast. It's my podcast, Heidi's podcast, whatever. Okay, so what am I going to talk about? Like, who would listen to this? Who cares? Who would even listen? Hi, this is a podcast of a woman who used to be a kindergarten teacher and got fired because of budget cuts And now she got hired at a place where she sits around listening to people read dirty books all day. It's like worse than that time I played Cards Against Humanity at my cousin's New Year's Eve party after our parents had gone home. And the card said, during sex, I like to think about, and the only card I had left in my hand was one that said butt stuff. And I was so confused because who thinks about going to the bathroom during sex? But then my cousin's girlfriend explained it to me, and I wanted to die. And I kept on shouting, people really do that? But why? Oh, my God. I thought I blocked that out. Okay, so hi. This is a podcast about what is even about. You know what? This podcast is about the fact that I'm so stuck right now. I can't do what my mom wants me to do. I don't have a job my parents will ever brag to their friends about. I obviously can't do what Laura's doing next door with my neighbor because I don't know how to say all those dirty things and bat my eyelashes and be so Laura. I know how to fall into bushes, though, let me tell you. I'm really good at that. I'm a bush ninja. Does anyone need to hire a bush ninja? I'm available evenings and weekends after dark. Hey, it's Heidi's Bush Ninja Show where she tries to avoid falling into rose bushes because bleeding isn't sexy. I'm also well-skilled in drooling so hard over my shirtless neighbor that I drop a box of podcast equipment all over my walkway, and he has to come over in all his shirtless, bare-chested glory and smile at me so shirtlessly. What the heck? So, I don't know. What else is in this box? Oh, no. I'm not going to read that. Definitely not going to read that. Did I mention my neighbor was shirtless when he read the back cover of this thing? Oh, you probably can't see what I'm holding, can you? That's probably for the best. I don't want anyone to know this book is even in my house, let alone that I touched it. But you should have heard him reading the blurb with all that stuff he has going on up top and his no-shirt-wearing, muscly man muscles and all that sweaty shirtlessness and those dimples. Is it hot in here all of a sudden? I feel warm. Maybe I should have more wine so I forget about how hot I am. Glug, glug, glug. I'm spouting more wine into my glass. Do-do-do. I'm just going to set this book way over here on the other side of the table and pretend like it's not even sitting there, silently judging me. I should read something, though. I got to read something. I'll just read something because then I don't even have to think about what I'm going to say. Oh, this will be fun. Hold on. I'll be right back. I'm going to get a book from my shelf and the other side of the room. I'm back. I grabbed one of my favorites. I'll read this Lisa Puffenbarger book about the guy in the buggy going down the road to the covered bridge. There was a good covered bridge scene. Let me find it. Okay, chapter 3. Hiram Yoder had always been in love with his neighbor on the next farm over, Sarah Bender. The pale pink bonnet that adorned her head matched the color of her lips that... Ugh, I can't do this. I swear, this is a sweet, beautiful scene about Sarah finally realizing Hiram is in love with her, and it's all because of the covered bridge and because she realizes there's so much more to him than just a man who churns butter for his family. But after what I heard at work today, everything Hiram says about Sarah suddenly seems so dirty, and I can't read this without emphasizing the word churn, because all I can hear in my head is producer Dave telling a narrator he thinks it needs to be hotter. And there shouldn't be anything hot or dirty about butter churning. I can't do this. Why am I so boring? This is so sad. I'm just going to get another glass of wine. Yay, Heidi's wine show. But it's more like wine show. Wow, why is my life so boring? Okay, Heidi, pretend that you are not a loser. Oh, my God, this is a mess. I'm a mess. I'm a boring former kindergarten teacher who can't even talk about an Amish romance without blushing. How do I accept my hot, muscly neighbor with dimples that made me feel like melted butter to even give me a second glance? I can't, because I'm pathetic. And now I want butter. I want a big old buttery sculpture of Princess Kay of the Milky Way sitting on my table now. I would eat her face right off. Did this even work? This thing probably didn't even record. I'm going to get more frenzy and see if it worked. Or maybe I'll just Netflix something. End scene.
Awesome.
It.
Beautifully read as well. I like that. That was good.
I have to read this book, and if a signed copy accidentally showed up, I would beat the hell out of that.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I can get you that in December. This is an Audible original, so we wrote it specifically for the audiobook format.
Oh, wow.
So it comes out as an audiobook, narrated by the lovely Andy Arndt, on September 3rd. And then on December 3rd, it will come out on ebook and paperback. So it's a little bit unique.
Yeah, we need to I'm going to book you to come back in December and, you know, find another excerpt to read for us. That was amazing.
I can 100% do that.
Yay. I love it. And, you know, we're going to do the whole show. We'll have the whole show, Tara, on, and I'll say her name right the whole time, I promise.
Yeah, could you?
Excellent. You have to live.
Yeah, you know, when it started out, I felt like Heidi, because there's been a couple of times, like, James, you know, he's the guy, he pushes the buttons, he's first on, he does it, you know, he talks a little bit, and during the commercial break, he'll tell me, you know, he has to go tuck his daughter in or something like that. He leaves for a second, and I have panic that he's not going to show up on time, and I'm going to have to talk alone. So, and that would be me. I would be like, what am I supposed to talk about? I would just babble. It would be awful.
Yep,
so
totally bad. Babble. And that's how we wrote this book. Andy would go into her recording studio, and she would just record pretending she was our character, Heidi. And she would record these podcasts, like, off the cuff. And with her Minnesota accent, like, I would pee myself when she would send me these recordings. It was just, you just felt like you were just in the part of, just in the story. It was just awesome.
I hate to say this, but we are out of time.
I know.
But as soon as we're off the air, I am going to get with you and try to get you scheduled to come back on, because this was great. I had so much fun with you. And tell us how fast where we can find you online.
Oh my God, I'm everywhere. I'm on online whore. I'm on every social media imaginable except Snapchat. I'm way too old for Snapchat. But I'm on Instagram, Facebook. I'm on the Twitter. I'm all over the place. And I'm under, just my full name, Tara Civic, all over.
Awesome. I will get your links put up on our Facebook page. If anybody wants to stalk you, then go there and do that. And, again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I can't wait to have you back.
Yay,
no, thank
thanks
you.
For it's, having
it's
me.
Been
I had
fun.
A great time.
It's been fun. I shall look forward to my Amish romance.
I'm going to get you that Amish romance, James. You're going to love it.
Fantastic. I can't, honestly, seriously cannot wait. I'm so looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Tara.
I'm
afraid it is that time where we have to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight. Oh, you see, I pressed the wrong button. I was all excited about Amish romance, and I pressed the wrong button. It's just, so we can turn that out in post. So here we go. It is time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it, New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it in old New York. If I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you. It's up to you, New York.